Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio. Conscious of the context of life and destination of the new creature. Chapter 11. The greatness of the armor of God in contrast with the breadth and intensity of the conflicts in the world. As we have seen in previous chapters, something highly relevant to observe in Paul's description of the central wrestle of Christians in the world is regarding who or what this fight takes place. If, on the one hand, we have simple people who individually come to believe in the Lord Jesus being called to put on the armor of God, on the other hand, we have principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places that oppose those who come to believe in Christ Jesus, as we can review once again in the text that follows below. Ephesians 6, 11-13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When describing the context of the wrestle of Christians in the world, Paul reinforces that their struggle is not merely against other individuals who oppose them or simply against blood and flesh, showing that if, on the one hand, there are simple people who believe in Christ, on the other side, there are structures and enemies gathering against their lives. A Christian, in particular, might even be physically stronger than some people who cooperate with a principality, kingdom, or sub-kingdom. However, the Christian as a person, individual, or human being is undoubtedly smaller than many principalities and the structures they use to manifest themselves and act in the world. Given this, can a simple Christian coated with the whole armor of God then resist evil and remain unshakable in the face of the amplitude of actions that a Christian's opponents often come to present? In answer to this last question, we understand that if a Christian thinks of the apparatus of God's armor in an equivalent comparison to a soldier's armor only under natural conditions, one, of course, may be inclined to think that one is not indeed protected as one needs to be. Nevertheless, if a Christian remains aware that putting on the whole armor of God is equivalent to putting on Christ Jesus in several of his attributes, this same Christian will be able to understand that despite one's smallness before the enemies, the whole armor of God offered in the Lord is incomparably more sovereign and powerful than one's enemies, for it is the very protection of Christ and his attributes over one's life. Thus, no matter the size or breadth of the Christian's opponents, God's declaration to his children in Christ Jesus is 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the false spirits or false prophets, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Regardless of the breadth or appearance of greatness of a principality and its structures, the Word of God declares that a Christian clothed in the whole armor of God can, yes, resist the wiles of the devil presented through the principalities and their structures. When one remains in Christ Jesus, the one that neither death nor the powers of darkness could hold in their cravings, shackles, chains, pains, or prisons, a Christian can indeed remain steadfast in one's condition as a child of God or a child of light. Acts 2, 21-24. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Yes, having put on the whole armor of God, a Christian can resist the wiles of the devil and redeem the time of one's life to live and walk according to the will of God. For the armor that the Christian is called to put on is he who, in addition to overcoming sin, the condemnation of the law, death, hell, and all the powers of darkness, is also the one who was raised from the dead and established by God as Lord and King over all principalities and powers that can be named in heaven or on earth, except, obviously, the Heavenly Father himself who subjected everything to the feet of Christ. Hebrews 2:14-15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Christ, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:27. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. If a Christian thinks of the armor of God as a set of postures that must be carried out by a human being and that depend on one's own strength to be carried out, one should indeed be very concerned in the face of vile and powerful enemies who oppose him or her. However, when the Lord calls Christians to put on the whole heavenly armor, he does so because God himself and his virtues are the Christian's protection. Thus, it is up to the Christian to respond to the call to put on the whole armor of God through fellowship with Christ Jesus, as well as to remain coated with it regardless of the size of the opposition against one's life, knowing that the armor itself is what effectively protects when coated with it, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his authority, his word, and his power over everything and everyone. Because they chose the Lord for protection, the psalmists expressed themselves to God by saying, "The Lord is my shield and my fortress," not depending on themselves but taking care to abide in him who was the protection and firm refuge of their lives, whether the oppositions were small or specific or whether they were like big storms. In the description of the battle's context presented in the text that mentions the whole armor of God, the scriptures do not deny the breadth or the strength of the opponents of Christians and do not even tell Christians to despise or be frivolous with the forces contrary to their lives in Christ, for they indeed may be much stronger than a Christian merely in one's natural condition. On the other hand, however, the scriptures do not declare for Christians to be afraid of enemies, for in the whole armor of God offered to them from heaven, there is also a perfect provision for them to be able to resist the wiles and the evil day because this armor is equivalent to the Lord's very protection for those who trust in him. We understand that it is highly necessary and significant for Christians to be aware of the extent involved in their struggles in the world, for the instruction of the scriptures for a Christian to strengthen oneself is not for a Christian to develop and grow in one's own strength and power to face principalities, but for the Christian to personally strengthen oneself in the Lord by putting on the whole armor that God makes available. For it is in the armor, which is the Lord, that the power of protection for a Christian dwells. Jeremiah 17:5-7. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord." A Christian is not called to glory in one's own strength before one's fellow people, and similarly not before the enemies of one's soul, for the Christian oneself, before the world, is very weak, but not God by whom a Christian was saved and in whom one is called to glory. The armor of God does not make a Christian a strong or big man or woman as if it were a tonic or anabolic, but it expresses the possibility that a man, a woman, or a child, despite being weak, can be coated with an immeasurable power that is fully powerful to protect them in everything so that they can remain in the will of God. 2 Corinthians 11:30. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, or weakness. Plus. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, or weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If a Christian puts on the truth, righteousness, faith, the gospel of peace, the word, and the salvation of the Lord, or which are in God, the Christian is strongly clothed even though the Christian oneself is still weak in one's natural condition. Or yet, it is the virtues of God over the Christian or in the Christian that give him or her the cover and protection that one needs for one's heart and life. The personal posture of a Christian being in Christ is credited to him or her as a guarantee of protection that nothing can separate him or her from the love of Christ, for Christ is love eternally, and nothing can separate Christ from his virtue of being love and each of the aspects of the whole armor of God. Therefore, the apparent contrast of the conflict between the principalities and their mighty structures against a single Christian can seem immensely disproportionate and frightening. However, if a person is in Christ and Christ is in this individual, this proportionality, in the spiritual realm, is seen from the opposite perspective, for nothing is comparable to the greatness of the Lord and his power. Never can any creature, individually or organized in principalities, reach a condition of being greater than the Heavenly Father, his beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalms 2:2-4, and 10-11. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together, against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision. Now therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isaiah 40:25-31. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, he calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Despite the seeming contrast of proportionality that may exist between a Christian and the principalities that operate in the world with their structures, the Christian rests secure in one's Creator, Savior, and Lord when one uses what God provides for him or her. an aspect that highlights once again how essential it is for the Christian to know that the whole armor that God provides is the living person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to live and walk according to the instructions of the Lord. The contrast between an individual who wears the armor of God compared to the size of the principalities operating in the world may indeed be immense. However, this contrast is in favor of the Christian who reverently wears the armor that heaven offers, for the Lord puts himself beside the one who trusts in him. When, for example, a Christian puts on the righteousness of God, one is putting oneself under Christ himself or in Christ. So, this protection of righteousness could only be bypassed if the opponents could overcome Christ himself and his righteousness. Similarly, when someone embraces faith in the Lord himself interposes as the one who nullifies the force of the enemy's fiery darts that want to shake a person's faith. And before finishing this chapter, we believe it is still highly necessary to point out that the fact that the Lord is God Most High, incomparable, or the Almighty Lord, and that a Christian can put on this God or can find oneself in him does not imply that a Christian is called to be endued with power to make haughty or extravagant displays of power before one's fellow people, the world, and the principalities. Although God has all the power to carry out actions that are extraordinarily large in power to carry out the deliverance of his children, the Lord, many times, chooses the simplest and most humble ways in the eyes of the world to intervene on behalf of those who place their trust in him. God knows how to deliver or protect everyone with whom he intends to do so through interventions and demonstrations of great visibility. However, God also knows how to do it perfectly through instructions, guidance, and interventions that lead Christians to find the provision of deliverance and protection in aspects considered humble or even despicable by the world and its principalities. 2 Peter 2, 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. By acting in everything in righteousness, the Lord knows how to strengthen a Christian to remain working in certain aspects or places even if one has opposition in them, as was the case with Daniel in the court of four different empires. On the other hand, for always operating grounded in his righteousness, God also knows when a Christian should withdraw or even flee from a particular situation in which the Lord will not yet confront those who oppose the heavenly kingdom, as he instructed Joseph to flee when the Lord Jesus was still a little boy in the world. Thus, in his supreme wisdom, God can guide people both to avoid conflicts and also to resist the enemy to the end through heavenly righteousness, similarly to how the Heavenly Father instructed and strengthened Christ to overcome to the end on the cross of Calvary to, through Christ's death, exposed to shame the principalities and powers that so strongly opposed Christ in the world, and, above all, because this was the way to grant us the newness of life in the Lord. Colossians 2, 13-15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Furthermore, putting on the whole armor of God cooperates with the Christian also in a preventive way against the actions of evil, for by knowing the truth, righteousness, and the instruction of the Lord granted through the Holy Spirit, a Christian also walks in paths beforehand chosen by the Lord and in which this Christian may avoid many unpleasantness and confrontations with the wiles and opposition against one's life. That is, the whole armor of God is to be used continuously or even in times of peace so that the Christian also may be instructed previously by the Lord to walk in the ways of peace. A Christian who turns to the Lord in times of peace may even be spared from many temptations, as shown in some texts below and addressed more widely under the theme The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 6, 9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Romans 12, 17-19. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, the fact that God is mighty to deliver and protect Christians from the devil's wiles and evil days should in no way be seen as an incentive for a Christian to be unnecessarily exposed to evil or to be frivolous with any kind of evil, for evil is not a thing with which a Christian should recklessly deal. It is not because God is able to save his children from opposing principalities and their structures that Christians should take deliberate actions that place them in constant or greater danger or conflict. It is not because God has provided a perfect or complete armor for the Christian that one should go out to every corner and place to face evil and test this armor. For being faithful to the Lord, Daniel was cast into the lion's den, and the Lord delivered him. However, Daniel, by no means, did intend to enter the lion's den, and he would not even throw himself into it just to see if God would deliver him. A sober soldier, aware that a specific fight may cause one's death, should never want to enter into a real and dangerous combat just to test one's strength even though one has prepared oneself in case the fight is inevitable. The Lord yearns to lead his children to green pastures and beside still waters. And if the children have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, there, too, the Lord leads, protects, and comforts them. However, on one's own initiative, no Christian should seek to go to dangerous places, for if one does so without the Lord having gone ahead, one will also be exposed to not having the Lord as the shield of one's life. In the sense considered in these last paragraphs, the consciousness of the great contrast that may exist in the opposition of principalities and their structures regarding a Christian should, then, serve for the Christian not to think that the conflict is not that fierce, for it may indeed be. And prudence is one of the Christian's essential virtues for resisting evil, and so, in everything, it should be part of one's living and walking in the world. Throughout the so-called New Testament, the Christian is much more instructed to be in a position of being in Christ and in a position to resist the kingdom of darkness than to adopt a position of confronting the powers of darkness and their agents. A Christian should always be cautious regarding standing up and being indignant about certain oppressions and injustices one sees in the world, for, often, the chain of command behind them is more extensive than one actually sees. And therefore, one's opposition to the injustices one perceives in the world should, first of all, be presented before one's Lord, who is powerful to hear and answer those who cry out to the eternal King of righteousness and peace. Ecclesiastes 5, 8. If you see the oppression of the poor, and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, or principality, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. Luke 18, 7-8. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In this way, instead of wanting to have faith to go out into the world facing all unrighteousness practiced in it, embracing the shield of faith is first to embrace the faith that is persevering in praying before the Lord, day and night, asking the Lord to manifest righteousness according to the heavenly righteousness. A God-fearing person is not called to create indignation ministries and go out and face all the principalities and structures in the world that oppose God and the righteousness of Christ. Before other things, a Christian is called to first please oneself with one's God and to entrust one's ways to the Lord to be shielded in everything by the Lord, which is also so clearly exposed to us by the psalmist in the text below. Psalms 37, 1-8. Do not fret, or become indignant, because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness, or truth. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Is not what this last psalm teaches, then, precisely the Lord's call for everyone who fears God to delight in God or to put on God? Is not what the psalm above teaches that people should embrace trust in God and incline their hearts to follow the paths that the Lord instructs them to follow? And yet, is it not for people to put on the righteousness of God to which they are called in the Lord instead of putting on their own righteousness and vengeance? Is not what the text of the last psalm teaches exactly allowing the word or instruction of God to show what the soul's reactions are and what the truth in the Spirit of the Lord is, dividing so soul and spirit? Is not what this psalm teaches precisely that the Lord is salvation in all situations? Thus, when the words of the psalm in reference declare that the Lord will bring forth our righteousness, they, according to the principle of the colligated words, are referring to Christ as our righteousness, with which every Christian should firmly clothe one's heart. Jeremiah 51:10. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Jeremiah 23:6. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Once again, then, we ask, what is the first position that the Christian should adopt to avoid conflicts or be prepared in the face of opposition with which one may come across? In everything, a Christian is always called first to be in Christ and to be in the Lord who goes at the head of his troops or the eternal shepherd who goes in front of his sheep. So, when a Christian is called to put on the whole armor of God, one is called to be aware that one's first attention in the struggles in the world is not principalities and powers themselves, but whether one is abiding humbly in fellowship with the Lord, remembering that it is from the Lord that all one's strength and provision of life and protection comes from. We recall here again that before Paul narrates about the whole armor of God, he urges Christians to strengthen themselves in God, as well as he did when he said, "Stand firm in the Lord, putting on each of the aspects made available by him to all those who believe in him." As we can also see in the text below, submitting oneself to God in humility precedes resisting the devil, for it is only by the Lord, in the Lord, and according to the Lord's instruction that a Christian can stand steadfast against the enemies of one's soul. James 4, 6-7. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The whole armor of God never fails, no matter the size of the opposition of darkness. What may happen is that a Christian abstains from seeking to find oneself coated with the whole armor of God, or abstains from seeking to be in Christ Jesus to also live and walk through Him. If a Christian humbles oneself before God and resists the devil, God protects the Christian, gives him or her wisdom from above, and provides this Christian with righteousness from heaven, even causing the devil to flee before that person. James 4, verses 7 and 10. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Therefore, the Christian's victory against principalities and their structures of powers should begin even before the direct conflict with them. It should start in the Christian's position of humility before the only Lord who can prepare an individual, clothe his children for the oppositions that may arise in the world, and grant victory. The Christian is called to prepare oneself in Christ and wait for the Lord's instruction on where or how far one should advance in the world. And once one is in the world in line with God's will, the Christian continues to be called to remain united with Christ in everything one does and where one goes. 1 Corinthians 9, 26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8-10. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. When a Christian is more conscious of the main battles and wiles that the devil tries to present against one's life, one will realize that the more significant struggles and the vilest oppositions against one's life will probably be those that want to distance this Christian from Christ so that one does not remain truly and continually in the Lord. And this is because when an individual ceases to be in Christ, the contrast of the extension of the principalities and their structures begins to weigh much more against one's life. And among the wiles that the devil proposes through many principalities and their structures is, for example, the pleasant, prosperous, and comfortable natural life, materially speaking, where this condition may become one of the potent weapons used by darkness against the life of the Christian. Although the devil may not be fighting directly against the life of a Christian, he may be doing it indirectly so that the Christian neglects, because of the things of the world, to put on the whole armor of God, thus weakening the Christian regarding future wiles and clashes against one's life. In conclusion, we would like to recall here also that when people resist becoming mature in Christ, which includes putting on the whole armor of God, they also do not grow up to perceive and adequately resist the reality that surrounds them and that seeks to push them away from Christ. Only the Lord knows the real structure of a Christian, and only the Lord knows the conflict a person can endure. For this reason, it is so fundamental for Christians to be attentive to the escape that the Lord provides for those who wait in Him. The way of escape that the scriptures of Ephesians 6 also teach as being to put on the whole armor of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 12-15. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. Only in Christ is there the prevention and proper provision of deliverance from the wiles of darkness and the opposition of its structures. And it is also about this central condition that exists in Christ that a Christian should be conscious of and in which one should always seek to abide, asking for the Lord's help so that He grants him or her to remain in this position continuously until the end of one's time in the present world. 1 Peter 1, 12-13. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Psalm 17, 5-9. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God, incline your ear to me, and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?